We learn out from this week's Parsha. Parsha's Kisisa has one of the famous psukim, famous verses in it. It's a famous song people like singing Friday night. We also have it in our Shabbos Kiddush in the morning. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos, v'asos es ha-Shabbos g'dorosam b'ris olam. So we'll see. The Gemara is going to learn out a very important halacha from this pasuk. In fact, the Gemara wants to know, minayin, from where do we know that pikuach nefesh is doche Shabbos? From where do we know that human life takes precedence over Shabbos? That if one's life is in danger, one must violate the Shabbos in order to save yourself, save someone else, call the doctor, go to the hospital, whatever it takes. What is the source that we know for the big three, for the three cardinal sins? If one puts a gun to you and says, accept the Torah, I mean, either commit adultery, commit murder, or commit idol worship, so one has a mitzvah of going Kiddush Hashem to give up their lives. But barring the big three for the 610 other mitzvahs, we say that one has a mitzvah to violate the Aveira and save one's life. So where do we know that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos? So in fact, the Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, tells us one of the first laws you should teach your community is this halacha that pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos, because the Yerushalmi says someone who asked the question of, let's say someone's life is in danger and you come running to the rabbi, so it's ke'ilo shofech damim. It's like killing the person, the time you're wasting draying around, finding out the answer, that could be the difference between life and death. In other words, the person who asked the question should have known already. I'm not blaming him, but then that means the rabbi didn't teach him. But he's wasting time. But Hanishal, it also says, the one who is asked, Hareza Maguna, if I have to be asked, that means it's not a good thing, because that means I didn't teach you. So therefore, one of the first halachas you're supposed to teach to the community is that human life takes precedence, and make sure you have any doubt of danger, call the doctor, go to the hospital, whatever it takes. So, and in fact, we know the Soloveitchiks were very strict on this issue, in other words, or very lenient on this issue, depending how you look at it. But there's a famous story with Rav Soloveitchik from Boston. So this is before he was in Boston. I think he was in Europe when this happened, because he was, so Rav Soloveitchik was the child. He was the one sick. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was the Rav's father, Rav Soloveitchik's father, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is the grandfather. So Rav Chaim is the grandfather, Rav Moshe is the son, and Rav Soloveitchik from Boston is the grandson. So the grandson was sick, so they called the doctor to come over. Back in the day when they made house calls, I remember my next door neighbor was, he happened to be Mishpacha, he was the family member, and he used to come over and make house calls all the time. Back in the day, it's not too likely it's happening today. I don't mean because of COVID. Certainly because of COVID it won't happen, even without COVID. So the question is, they called the doctor came in. So Rav Chaim, the grandfather, said to the doctor, do you need some more light? I guess there was some light, but it wasn't. So the doctor said, I can't hurt. So he told his son, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who was the father of the sick child, well, go turn on the light. So he saw Rav Moshe started hesitating. And then they say Rav Simcha Zelig, who was the Dayan, he turned it on. So he saw Rav Moshe hesitating. He called him an apikoros, you heretic. Because number one, he's a heretic because that's what the Karaites say. The Karaites say you're not allowed to turn on lights, on, even to save lives. But besides that, he was screaming at him, Pikuach Nefesh, of course you turn on the light. So he rebuked his son that he didn't act swift enough. So, and obviously the question is, it wasn't like the doctor said he needed the light. He said it can't hurt. So the question, they said, the briskers, you're always so machmir on Shabbos. Why are you so lenient here? And of course, Rav Chaim gave the famous answer, I am machmir. I'm very strict on saving lives. And I'm lenient on Shabbos, but I'm strict. I'm strict on the important thing of saving lives. So we see the importance of pikuach nefesh. So how do we know that it supersedes Shabbos? So the Gemara marshals a couple of sources. Number one, the Gemara quotes, Rabbi Elezer quotes regarding the mitzvah of Miwa. We know on the eighth day, when the child's healthy, a natural born child, Uvayom Hashmini Yimo Besara Lasso, it says, on the eighth day, even on Shabbos, you do a bris Miwa. So we see circumcision supersedes the Shabbos. So comes along Rabbi Elezer and says, if to fix one aver, one limb in your body, the Miwa, you're allowed to desecrate Shabbos, how much more so when you want to save the whole guf, the whole body, how much more so you're allowed to desecrate the Shabbos? That's one proof. The other proof is from our pasuk we started off with, Vishamru b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos, lasos ha-Shabbos l'dorosam b'ris olam. So the Gemara says, so Rav Shimon ben Menasseh makes the following drasha, it's better to mechalo Shabbos achas, better to desecrate one Shabbos, kidei sheyishmor Shabbosos harbe, in order to keep many more. In other words, if someone's dying and you don't help them, that's it. This is the last Shabbos they'll be keeping. But if you take them to the hospital, you call the doctor, you help them, so maybe they're not going to keep this Shabbos, but the rest of their lives they'll be able to keep Shabbos. So from here we learn out a second source that one desecrates, it's not really desecrating, but one can violate the Shabbos in order to save a life. And the Gemara gives a third verse, V'chai Bahem, that we have a pasuk in the Chumash that says Judaism is a religion of life, to live by the lo yamus and not to die by. So therefore we have to do everything possible to keep one alive. So those are the three sources the Gemara marshals as the source that Pikuach Nefesh is Doche Shabbos, even the source by Miwa, the source by Vishamru, B'nai Yisrael as Shabbos, and the third source, V'chai Bahem. So of course the Gemara says, what do I need three sources? Actually the Gemara concludes that basically, what do I learn from the last source, V'chai Bahem? So what the Gemara learns out is, from the first two sources I know, if one is in definite danger, I know that I'm allowed to desecrate the Shabbos. If I know that by desecrating the Shabbos, I'm allowed to desecrate the Shabbos if I know someone is deathly ill. But let's say I'm not sure. I'm not a doctor. I see someone lying on this. He got hit by a car. How am I going to decide if he's going to live or not? So that's what we learn out from V'chai Bahem. No, you have to absolutely save the person, whether you're sure or not sure. So we passed in even suffic pikuach nefesh, even if you're not sure, if it's a case of doubtful life and death, you go ahead and you save. So that's what we learn out from V'chai Bahem. From the simple reading of the Gemara, it seems to imply that V'chai Bahem is the conclusion, and that's it, and we have no need for V'shamru. However, the commentators seem to say not that way. Let me ask you the following question, a rhetorical question. Let's say someone is kidnapped by people who are not going to murder or harm them. They're not even going to ask you for a ransom. They want to convert them to their religion. But there's no physical danger. You know, it's a hypothetical because you never know. Hypothetically speaking, a group of people who want to convert people to different religions, they grab one of the kids off the street on Shabbos. But there's no physical danger. Are you allowed to go desecrate the Shabbos to go find this kid who is this kidnapped? Again, in real life, you never know if there's danger, so of course you will. But I'm saying it's a hypothetical to learn the principle. Let's say assume there is no danger. And you know there's no danger. There's no physical danger. There is clearly a spiritual danger. So is one permitted to desecrate the Shabbos only for physical danger? Or do we say even for spiritual danger? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, even spiritual danger. The halach is you get in the car, you call the police, you call whoever and you get on and you have to catch, because the longer that person's with them, the longer they have to indoctrinate the person and convince them to or get them, you know, to join another religion, etc. So therefore, we see even on spiritual pikuach nefesh, the halacha is, you do it. You know, it's a debate whether even to violate only rabbinical, but the bottom line is we say you could desecrate the Shabbos to save someone from spiritual danger. The question is, but I'm glad that's the answer, but what's the source? How do the commentators know that? So the answer is based on our verse, V'shamru b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos, that we learn out, better to desecrate one Shabbos so you can keep Shabbos for the rest of your life. So the commentators say, it's not just, if that's the case, and if this person is taken and they're going to convert him to another religion, he's never going to keep another Shabbos for the rest of his life. So clearly, if I get him back and I bring him back home, he'll be able to keep many more Shabbos. So they learn out from the Drasha, better to violate one Shabbos and get this person back in order to be able to keep many more. So we see, even lahalacha, we accept this reason as well. In fact, there's another interesting source, another interesting case. The Gemara tells us in Makkos, let's say someone kill someone b'shogeg, unintentionally. You know, it's a mistake. So there's, back in the day, they had cities of refuge, Are Miklat, and that was your safe heaven. The avenger of blood was looking for you. You were safe. That was your safe zone. Don't they have that today in universities, Jeff? Don't you have your safe rooms? When people are...
Not really.
Mac doesn't have them. They're not... progressive enough. So you go to a safe room, and therefore the Goa Adam cannot harm you. So the halacha, the Gemara tells you that you're even allowed to bring your Rebbe with you. Your Rebbe comes with you to the Are Miklat. So what do you mean the Rebbe comes with you to the Are Miklat? Why? You could choose one of the places you could choose is Da'ari Leviyim. There are plenty of rabbis there, plenty of shiurim going on. You could catch a Daf Yomi shiur. You could catch this shiur. Like, what is your Rebbe have to go? So what's the source? So some want to say, maybe you could argue. So the Magen Avraham says, you know why? Because based on Vishamru b'nei Yisrael es HaShabbos, that in order to be able to, not everyone, you know, the Gemara in Erevin, not anyone could learn with anyone. You know, a person wants to learn with his own Rebbe, someone who he relates to and he likes his share, etc. So therefore, the Magen Avraham, based on Vishamru, but better in order that he's able to keep, he'll be able to continue learning, etc. But others point out, perhaps it's based on V'chai Bahem. It's based on the other pasuk, the Chai, that a person has to live. We all know you can't live without your Rebbe. In fact, I'm sure you're familiar with the Rambam. He even says it even stronger. Someone who doesn't have a Rebbe, it's like Misa Chashuva. It's like death. And therefore it's V'chai Bahem. That of course he has to bring his Rebbe with him. Without his Rebbe, it's not. And the chiyuv is he has to live in the Ari Miglat. If you have to live, clearly, living without your Rebbe isn't living, and therefore you have to bring your Rebbe with you. Of course, the question is, what about all the other Talmidim? Do they have to join you in the Ari Miklat then? I guess they could come, because you don't have a choice. You can't leave, but they could come in. So we see that that even though, and they give a couple, they give, I'll give you a couple more, one more example I'll give you of this concept that we apply, that it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu had a child, so there was a discussion. He was in the Midbar and he was traveling to Egypt. So he had a discussion with his wife whether he should gemal his kid or not. And so he said he doesn't want to circumcise his kid because it's a danger. If I'm going to circumcise my kid, then I'm going to put him in danger. So, no, because he has to travel. So the first couple of days after you have a circumcision, yeah, I mean, I guess probably then in the Midbar, but so the question is, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know about this? The Torah wasn't given yet. He didn't receive the Torah on Har Sinai. How does he know about the issue of not putting one in danger? Well, I assume that's common sense, but the Shita Mekubetzis writes in the Durim that Moshe had that same logic. He said, because if my son's going to die, he can't do any mitzvahs then. He can't keep any more Shabbosos. So based on Vishamru b'nei Yisrael es Shabbos, better to violate one Shabbos to keep many more. So we see, so to summarize, we see there were three different sources. How do we know you could desecrate Shabbos and save one's life? Either based on the Kal Vachomer for Mila, which is only involves one part of your body, you could do it on Shabbos. How much more so save your whole body? We had the Vishamru, better to desecrate one Shabbos to keep many more. And we had V'chai Behem. And we need V'chai Behem to teach me even on a doubtful case of Pikuach Nefesh. So then what do I need Vishamru for? So I need Vishamru to tell me in cases where, so we said before the Torah was given by Moshe Rabbeinu, we said, how do we know spiritual death constitutes that you're allowed a machal Shabbos? So that we learned that from Vishamru. So that's how we know a Rebbe has to go to the Ari Miklat, or Moshe Rabbeinu had to didn't want to do a milah on his son. And other examples as well about how we learn it. And as we say, the Salavashik were very strict on Pikuach Nefesh, and that's what the Yerushalmi says. One has to be careful. One of the first things you teach your community is you have to know to desecrate the Shabbos, even on a doubtful case, because it doesn't bode well on the one asking the question. He's wasting time. He's like spilling blood. And it doesn't bode well for the one who's being asked the question. That means he didn't teach them enough that they should know not to ask. And this, go run to the hospital. Don't run to the Rebbe. If it's a case of life and death issues, you have to go straight to the hospital.
Very good. Yeah.